In our church and in our ministry, we have been on a journey for about 25 years seeking to become a prophetic community and also a worshiping community. And one of the things that we have learned is that God intends for worship to have a destination. And you may know that and be familiar with that. But in the early days, we really didn't know that. So we sang songs and played music, and maybe we might stop in the middle and read scriptures and pray and worship again. And usually at the end of worship, we just ended. And I think in many ways we thought that that time was a prelude to the preaching or something else. But what we found out is that worship has a destination, and that is that we would encounter God spiritually, that we would truly encounter Him. And what we've learned is we worked through about five stages to get to that final stage of where we're connected. We are engaged. He's there. And in that level, that stage of worship, there's a transformation that's happening to us. We're being changed by that engagement. And also, if you invite someone to your home, do you demand that they remain silent? Facetious question, I understand that. You would invite them and you would expect them to speak and you would encourage them to speak, right? If you invited them, but yet you did not give them space to speak, wouldn't that be weird? Maybe we'd even consider that rude, would we? You're very polite here. Unlike we Americans, we tend to be a little rude. I thought I'd get an acknowledgement of yes for that. Thank you. Thank you very much. So we worship God. And it's an invitation. Psalms 22:3 says God inhabits the praises of His people. So we worship Him. We send Him an invitation. We expect it'll come. He arrives in the house. And what do? Just cut our worship, take an offering, give announcements, preach something, go home. He stands in the corner for a while, waiting for His opportunity to communicate to us. He doesn't get it. He leaves. That happens over and over. After a time, it seems to me that He stops showing up. We haven't really noticed whether He showed up. We weren't really expecting Him anyway. We did our routine. We had our form and we had our order and we run our order of service, and we were somewhat encouraged by the things that we said and the things that we'd done. But believe me, there is more. Much more. And what I want to speak to you tonight is not actually about worship, but about God's intention to provide to us what we really need. What is it that we really need? What is it that you really need? I mean, if you could choose anything, what would you choose? I mean, if God was going to absolutely answer your prayer, what would you pray? Maybe for a new car. Cheap fuel prices? For your children to be blessed and your body to be healed? Those are all good things. God's got a plan. He knows exactly what we need. If you have a Bible and you want to read along, Acts chapter 1. I'm reading tonight from the King James Version. I don't often use the King James Version, but there's a couple of word differences here that are just like, whoa, incredible. So I'm King James tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Infallible proofs. What are infallible proofs? Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Infallible proofs. Raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, even though Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, complained when Jesus arrived. You probably know about that. They said, well, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. First it was Mary and then Martha. And then she said the same. Well, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, well, it's better that I wasn't here because the glory of God needs to be revealed so that there would be an infallible proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come with power. So he, as you know, he goes to the, he says, well, where is he buried? They're a bit hesitant to tell him. Finally, they spit it out. And I think it's Mary. She's saying, well, you know, he's. She begins to give him, Jesus, an autopsy report. He's stinking by now. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus is still asking, where's the grave? And they finally show him. And then Christ says to them, move that stone. What would you do if he said to you, move that stone? I hope I'd move that stone. You know what I'm saying? Just move the stone. They were around when his mother said, well, just do whatever he tells you and he'll turn that water into wine. Another infallible proof, you see. He said, move that stone. Finally, they quit nagging him and complaining and offering the autopsy report and they moved the stone. Then came that infallible proof. He called Lazarus from the grave. You know about that. He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He gave sight to the blind. Oh, it's incredible. There's good news. Watch this now. And then after his death and resurrection, ascension, he appears to Peter and more than 500 eyewitnesses for a 40-day period. That's profound. Another infallible proof. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard from me. Now, the thing about the early disciples, they had seen and known of him enough. And they were hungry and thirsty, you see. Hungry and thirsty. They yielded to him. They presented themselves to him. And they did what he said. There had been a promise made through the prophets for hundreds of years that was yet to be fulfilled. There was many covenants made. They all failed. God raises up a new covenant in the person Jesus Christ. And it's being fulfilled right here. Look at this now. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It's a valid question. The kingdom was part of the promise. They knew that. They understood that. They were anxious for the kingdom. But look what his response is. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. Here we are in Northern Ireland. And what are we praying? And what are we asking? Many of us are asking and praying
Is this the season? Is this the time? Are you going to come again to Northern Ireland and revive us and restore us and put life in our churches and power in our hands and anoint our words? And I believe He's in the heavens right now saying the same thing to us that He said to them. It's not for you to know. And I think in simpler terms, what He's saying to them is, don't worry about it. Maybe He's even saying, it's not your business. But He doesn't stop there. He tells them what is their business. And He begins to reveal what is His plan and His purpose and what ought to be their business. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, He's saying to them, you be concerned about this. You know this plan. You know this purpose. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit. You get your little you know what, so to speak, over to Jerusalem. And you wait there, and you tarry there, and you worship there until my Spirit comes in power, and then you can be my witnesses, and you won't need to worry about what season it is. Because when the Holy Spirit's poured out at Pentecost, we theologically know this, don't we? Was the Holy Spirit poured out? We're going to look at that in a minute. He was. He was poured out. That's what's called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit when Pentecost came. You know what I mean. You know what is a dispensation. A dispensation is not only a time, but a dispensation has a plan and a purpose. And the plan and the purpose of the Father through the Son was to pour out the Holy Spirit on all the believers. They'd no longer need a natural king, a natural priest. They wouldn't need a political kingdom. They wouldn't need a material kingdom. But please remember, that's the only kind of kingdoms they knew of, and that's the kind of power that they were expecting. And so He tells them to get to Jerusalem and wait for this power that'll be poured out, this Holy Spirit power. Please understand me. The dispensation started then at Pentecost. Could I get a witness out of the mature brothers here? Is that right? Now let me ask you, mature brothers. Come on. Help me. Is the dispensation ended? Oh, well. Oh, well. If the dispensation isn't ended, what should we do? We better get ourselves in the same place. Jerusalem is known as the city of David, the place of worship. Look, let's worship Him till He come. And when He gets here, let's embrace Him. Let's submit to Him. Let's let Him speak. Let's let Him touch us. Let's let Him put His power on us. Too often in the Christian church, we talk about when He came 2,000 years ago. We take the offering. There's too little in it to get much of anything done. We complain about that if we're counting the money or if we're the pastor. We all go home and wonder what isn't going to happen next week. I couldn't get an amen out of that. Oh, I'm working hard here. I'm preaching good. Well, we don't really change. 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 Get off of it. Well, that's just your Americanism speaking. No, it's not. No, it's not. I bring His presence. And I bring His kingdom. And there's awe and signs and wonders to support what I'm saying. Because the Holy Spirit was poured out 2,000 years ago, and this dispensation isn't ended. We don't have to pray for Him to come. He's been released. He is in the believer. He's looking and trying to get in the church if we'd let Him in. Hello? He's trying to give us some power if we'd have it. The dispensation isn't over. He's standing at the door. All we've got to do is what they did. Get over to Jerusalem. Let's go there. Let's go to Jerusalem. Come on. How many been to Jerusalem?
I was there last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go to the Wailing Wall?
Yeah.
That,
it's amazing.
It is.
I went into where the Orthodox Jews.
Yes, I was in there, yeah.
And there's a presence of God.
Amen. And yes, there is.
I mean, I knew that God's chosen people, but it spoke to me in a real way.
Amen. You may know this, but I've experienced this many places. In Jerusalem, in the church on the Isle of Lewis in Barbas, Scotland. Duncan Campbell Revivals, 1948 to 52. A young pastor friend of mine was the pastor preacher there, and went there many times helping him preaching in that place. The residue of God's there. You can just get yourself over there and just pass on that ground or that building, and the residue of God's there. Where God has ever been powerfully and prominently, He will leave a residue at least. It's amazing. Now, we were going to Jerusalem, weren't we? We got to get there. We got to get in there, I'm telling you what. Look at this now. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Can you imagine that? How could that be? I mean, in Northern Ireland, how many people can you get together at any one time and they all be together in one accord? I don't know if this will go down very well or not. We best abandon our culture. I'm going to show you this in a minute. We better abandon our culture compared to embracing the person Jesus Christ, receiving the kingdom of God, and learning to prioritize getting in the presence of the Holy Spirit repeatedly and being filled with His power. If your culture inhibits you from worshiping your God with abandon and liberty, then you need to step away from it. Anything that gets between. Now get off of that now. And I really love Northern Ireland. I do.
I want to convert to become Irish.
He's Jewish. He's Jewish. Yeah. They were all in one accord. They were all in one accord. That's necessary, right? Now watch this. God has a plan, a purpose, and a promise. And so they go over there, they do what they were told to do, they're there, and they're there in one accord. Perfect. Now watch what happens. Verse 2. And suddenly, I like suddenly. Do you like suddenly? I like God coming suddenly. If we have too much notice, we'll mess it up. We will. We'll mess it up. We'll say, well, I don't know, I don't think I want to go over there if that's going to happen. You know, I just... Them Americans are weird, and that music was like, you know, Appalachian or something. I don't know what that was. You please know this. It's not musicianship. That's their worship, them guys. We've been in places where the people just fell down. They just fell down under that. That has fell down. And I don't mean it was all about an emotional or physical experience. The Spirit came. He comes when we worship Him in spirit and truth. Get off of that now. Come on. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Lord, do it here. Just do it here. 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. That's weird. That's strange. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Sounds a little Pentecostal. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I love that. I like nations. Verse 6. And now when this was noised abroad, I like that too, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that very man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled. When's the last time you were amazed in church? Is another word you'd rather use? We need some fire in the church to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that removes the wood, hay, and stubble. Where are we here? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Verse 8. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Last meeting over at the Hub, experiencing God, one of your members was there and she wasn't sure whether she should come and receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and experience God. And she was Dutch, and there was some woman next to her speaking in tongues. Didn't know she was speaking in Dutch to that woman and saying, "You should be here. This is for you." And we had a brother on Tuesday night, gave a tongue, and I've been in 50 nations, and he was speaking in Portuguese. And I interpreted the tongue, and the Spirit fell upon us. And the room literally shook. The room shook. I'm not trying to tell you a story. It shook. It's true. Still true. The dispensation is not over, right, Harry? Right, Harry? Dispensation is not over. The Harrys, when the Harrys confirm this, you know. You know you're on. I don't know whether you know these guys. They're spiritual fathers of the land here. We thank God for them. Verse 9. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and parts of Libya. We need that in Libya again just now. Not weapons of war, but weapons of peace by the Holy Spirit. About Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. What a mix. What a mix. Think about this. You know, things are difficult in Northern Ireland. You know, we got all this history and this trouble and, you know, all these differences and so forth. And I don't know how that'll ever be resolved. And, well, we're going to have to be strategic. And let's get over to Jerusalem. Let's get in the presence of God. He changed all these nations in one place at one time. Verse 11. Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, look at this. And they were all amazed. When was the last time you were amazed in your church? When were the last time you were amazed in your Christianity? Now hear me, please, hear me. If you're not amazed in your Christianity, you're messed up. You missed it, honey. You missed it. God's got a plan, God's got a purpose, and He has given a promise that was released in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. And Harry say that the dispensation is not ended. It's still now. I'm making this thing so nobody will forget that this got said. You go away. This will be marked in your mind forever. This dispensation's here. They were amazed. I want to live amazing Christianity. And I'm not going to go to church
and be miserable or think I don't care if I be here or this thing's dead. I'm not going to beat it up. I'm not going to hurt it even if it's troubled. I'm going to love it. I'm going to pray for it. And I'm going to participate in life coming. And that's what we all must do. Amen?
Amen.
Watch this now. Watch. Watch this. Verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. King James. Now, here it says perplexed, right? And if you got a New American or maybe a NIV.
Yeah.
NIV say perplexed.
Yes. Yes.
There's a difference. There's a difference between perplexed and doubtful. Perplexed, I think the definition of perplexed would be like, I don't understand. Is that right? I don't get it. I don't understand. I like the King James. Unless the King James is wrong, and I don't think it is. Hello? I don't think it is. They were amazed, and then it says they were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? They were in doubt. What that means is the Holy Spirit came, He was poured out on them, they had tongues as a fire, they were speaking in languages to others that were there that they didn't learn, and they end up amazed, and they were marveled, but the last thing it says is they were in doubt. That's a problem. That's a real big problem. Because if you're in doubt, you're not going to receive the promise, you're not going to follow the plan, and you won't access the purpose of God with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit because you're in doubt. Too much of the Christian church, inclusive of this land, is in doubt of the Holy Spirit. We doubt the Holy Spirit. Probably the best we could say in honest testimony is we tolerate Him. We tolerate Him. And we're suspect of Him. And we're only tolerant usually of the people that attempt to bring Him in our midst. We might be willing to contribute to their airline ticket home. We got a basket any place we can pass. There's a problem. They're in doubt now. Unless that's remedied, that's it. They've had the experience, but it isn't going anyplace. The purpose of the experience isn't going to yield the presence of the power in them to be the witnesses that the promise was to produce. Are you with me? It's a problem. There has to be a remedy for this problem. And there is. Watch this. Verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They were accused of literally being drunken on spirits, beverage spirits. But, watch this now. I like this. But Peter, who is Peter? Who's Peter? Well, he's an apostle. That means he's a sent one. He's a sent one. And he is a sent one by and with the authority and the power of God. I'm a sent one. Are you a sent one? Are you an apostolic Christian? How many are apostolic Christian? Some hands are going up real slow and some not very high. But I like it. I want to help you be an apostolic Christian. You see, you don't get over the doubt unless you become an apostolic Christian. You'll be suspect of the Holy Spirit. You'll tolerate Him, but you won't be able to fully embrace Him. You won't be able to become the witness that that power is supposed to reveal. Apostolic Christian. One who is sent on a mission that they find greater than themselves to be fulfilled. Isn't that right, Willie? Spends every penny he's got, every resource he has, to take the Spirit any place anybody wants it. And he and Betty go and they set up the chairs and they make the coffee. Do you make the soup at home or do you make it where you go?
Wherever we can.
You make the soup wherever you can, the sandwiches and everything else. And they bring the Holy Spirit to the people. They're apostolic Christians. They're sent on a mission. And they love that mission more than they love themselves. Whew, that's incredible. Now, Peter is an apostle, but he's also a prophet. You see, this promise that God made of the outpouring of His Holy Spirit and the plan and the purpose that He had for it, as you know, Ben prophesied a long time before this comes. 750 years before this comes, Jesus has prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. And Joel, in Joel chapter 2, he prophesied of this outpouring right here. We know that, don't we? Hello? And they knew about that, but they stumbled and they doubted. Then Peter, apostle and prophet, stands up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Let's just stop right there a minute. Now, why does it say he lifted up his voice? We'll see this more as we read on. He had a prophetic voice. He didn't just have a voice. It doesn't mean that he spoke. It doesn't mean that he could be heard. It means he had a voice. It means that he had an anointed voice. It means that he had a prophetic voice. It means that God had touched him. He had a voice for God. And the proof and evidence of that will be clearly seen. Watch. Stands up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So he has a voice, and he has words. Why say that he has a voice and he has words? Why wouldn't it just say he said words? But it says he has a voice and words. The voice is the anointed part. The words are the prophetic message that the Spirit gave him and revealed to him. Now, watch. This is hot right here. Verse 15. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. Now, fasten your seatbelt right here. Verse 16. But this is that. Say that with me. This is that. One more time. This is that. Did you hear that? This is that. Don't forget that. We're going to bring a song next time. The title of it's going to be This Is That. Maybe Harry will help me write a book called This Is That. The apostle and the prophet, Peter, says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember, they stumbled and they doubted. They didn't get it. They were looking for something else. And unless the apostle, the apostolic person comes along, unless the man with an anointed voice, unless God raise up some people that have a voice and a word, then people just keep stumbling, just keep doubting, just keep tolerating the Holy Spirit and holding Him suspect, and their value for the Holy Spirit is low. So there's not much power and not much evidence of God among His people. Watch. Then He begins to explain. He begins to quote Joel. And something begins to happen. They needed a remedy, you see. And Peter brings the remedy in verses 14 to 16. And he reveals to them what the prophet Joel said. This is that. This is it. It isn't what you thought it would be, but this is it. And what the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of and say to us tonight, this is that. This is it. There isn't something else.
We don't need to pray for something else. We're in the dispensation. This is that. We need to seek Him. We need to present ourselves to Him. We need to get soaked and saturated in the Holy Spirit. This is that. What we, you know, you cry out for life in your church. You cry out for revival and renewal across the land and all the Christians. You cry out for remedy to other things that are part of the fabric of your community and of your nation. The answer is in this is that. The Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, is the this for that. Am I making sense here? So he tells them that. And it begins to make sense. And in verse 33, he gives them a final explanation in verse 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured forth this, which you both see and hear. Here's the remedy. God comes and re-prophesy and explain to us by His Spirit and through those who have an anointing to explain to us that this is that. This is it. And so, what happens? It is confirmed to them that this is the dispensation. Then the prophet Peter tells them in Acts 2:39, "For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." Now, Harry and Harry, does that mean it's for our generation? Is it for us? Is it for that young woman?
Yes.
Is it for that boy?
Yes.
Dispensations now. Dispensation was then. Dispensation is now. And that dispensation, Harry and Harry, is perpetual. Is that right? It's ongoing. There is a change coming in the second advent, right? When Jesus Christ returns, second advent starts. Then, It's a new and a different day. We don't need to worry about that. Let it come. But until then, we've got to occupy what we have been promised and get in the plan and get in the purpose, and that is that we're in the dispensation of the Spirit. Let's receive it. Let's focus on receiving it. Let's spend some time and energy getting saturated with Him, because that's the promise. And it's for us. And it's for us now. So then, how was the doubt removed? Let's close with this. Acts 2:41. He says, "So then, those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." I'd say that's effective evangelism. I'd like to get in on some of that. I hadn't seen that many. What's our number? Our high number?
1,970. 1,970
is the best we've seen. We can prove that with facts and data. 1,970. And they were Hindus. And they came with their gods hanging on them and hanging in them. And the demons came out, and the pastor that sponsored this for us, He interviewed every person that was saved. He got their name, address, and all the data on them. And he was telling me there was almost 2,000 saved. And I said, "Well, how do you know?" He pulls out a stack of papers about that thick. 1,970. We're still in the dispensation.
Yeah.
We're still in it. We're still in it. At that same place, a man came up on the stage and he was on crutches. He'd had a stroke. His two sons were supporting him. He was crippled. Just touched him. Walked away. The 5,000 that were there then rushed the stage, which was about 8 feet high, and it began to fall down. We had to jump off of it on the people. They didn't care. They thought of us like Paul and Barnabas. They thought we were gods. I'm telling you the truth. See, they weren't carrying the baggage of religious Christianity that we carry. They weren't carrying that. So what do? We got to let the doubt be removed. And in Acts 2:42-47, there is the testimony of what happened with them when the doubt was removed. So the Spirit's poured out, they get the doubt problem, Peter comes along, prophesy to them what it's about, the doubt's removed, and look what happens in Acts 2:42-47. 42, it says they were devoted to apostolic teaching, fellowship, prayer, breaking of bread. 43, it says they continued in a sense of awe with signs and wonders. That's the Christianity I want to live. I'm living it. I'm living it. Every Sunday in our church, the Lord comes. The Spirit comes. There's prophesying. There's ministry. There's healing. All the stuff's going on every week. Steady. We've got 5-year-olds that can prophesy to you. They can lay hands on you and effectively pray for you if you're sick. Come on. We're still in the dispensation. This is that, and that which was still is. This is that. It isn't gone. This is that. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, let's get on with it. This is still that. He's not gone. We don't need to pray for another dispensation. We don't even need to pray for another revival. Let's just give ourselves to Him. The natural outflow of that will look like revival. But what we do, what we've done horribly, I mean, it's just horrible. Gosh. Some of my colleagues have a theology that, well, you know, when Wimber was around, we had this and we had that, and that's, you know, that's past, and we're waiting for the Spirit to come back prominently. With those that I have liberty with, I say that's idiotic. And you can't support that with theology. What it is doubt. It's doubt. The dispensation's not over. It isn't past. We don't need to wait for Him to come again. Yes, there's ebbs and flows. There's ebbs and flows of the Holy Spirit's activity. But I maintain there's only ebbs and flows because we are in doubt. He's not ebbing and flowing. He's not standing around. You know, the sovereignty of God isn't in the heavens saying, well, I don't know if we'll go today or not. You know, it's warm and sunny here. We'll wait 20, 30 years and we'll go to Northern Ireland then. That's rubbish. We're in the dispensation. So 43, it says they continued in a sense of awe with signs and wonders. They continued. 44, they had unity and commonality. Can you imagine? Unity and commonality? Where are you going to get that in a church? Where are you going to get that? I'll tell you how you don't get it. Take a vote. Take a vote. That's how you don't get it. Here's another way you don't get it. Create a committee. I hate committees. That's dumb. You don't see a committee in the New Testament. The leadership of the church should be under the theocracy of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, if you give that much authority to a pastor, you know, he could steal some money. Well, throw him out after that. But don't tie him up now. Let's let the Spirit come. Unity and commonality. 45, sharing their material possessions, meeting one another's needs. Could you imagine?
I mean, how many are running out and selling their car and giving the money to a family that had a, you know, an economic downturn, lost their home? Where's that? It's happening some. It's happening some. But it's not common. It could be. 46, it says they continued. There's that word again. I love that word. Continuing and continued with one mind and gladness and sincerity of heart. Where is their one mind? Where's that? Well, I don't do it that way. And you know, that was, worship was good, but you know, that horn was too loud. I just couldn't get into that horn. Get out of yourself, please. Get out of yourself. Get over yourself. Be a worshiper. Let's be of one mind. This is that. This is the dispensation. Let's be of one mind just on that. This is that. It's now. This is the dispensation. Let's go for it. Let's be the remnant. I intend to be one of those spokes in that wheel of 12. So do you. And we don't care if he rolls us through the cow, you know what stuff. Fine. Right, Willie? You're going to be in the wheel. Let him roll. You should read Joel chapter 1 and 2. Talks about the Spirit coming. People of God running like horses. We're also going to bring a song that's title's called Let the Horses Run. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get over it. Let's saddle up. Well, that's Americanism. You're from the West. I am. I'm cowboy all the way. All I need is my hat. Come on. Let the horses run. Get off of it. Well, if we do that, we'll lose people and, you know, it won't. You know, we struggled to get this far. Well, if you're going to lose them by letting the horses run and focusing on the Holy Spirit saturating them, maybe they're better to go on so the remnant can get about the real business of this is that. And we're in the dispensation. We're going to get the power. We're going to glorify our God. We're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we figure that it'll be like it was then because this is that. And we're still in the dispensation. We'll have the power. We'll evangelize. And the church will be rebuilt and restored to a greater glory than the former house that thought this is not thy.
Amen.
Am I making sense here? I'm getting closer to ending. What then's the potential of this is that? Don't have time right now, but please, you read tomorrow. If you have a little time, you go and read Luke chapter 9 tomorrow. Then he commissioned the 12 and he sent them out. Then he commissioned the 70 and he sent them out. He said, take no bag, no purse. You know, the fields are white unto harvest. Get yourself out there. Get out there. Go on, get out there. Take no bag, no purse, don't greet anybody on the way, and glory in this, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Who wants that job? You want that job? I think you probably do.
Okay, fine then.
You're my kind of guy. You're a this is that guy.
I'm
British. Amen. You know what that's about? A lot of people can't make any sense of that. What it was about is the assignment that they had, which he said, go and bring the kingdom. And when it happens, just tell them. Just tell them the kingdom has come near you. He didn't want them dependent on anything other than the power of the Holy Spirit with a manifestation of the kingdom of God. And they went, like he said, and they did what he said. And you know the ending part of that. They come back rejoicing. I mean, they was happy camping.
When we go out on the road to the nations, we go home half crazy. We go home with the stories and they can hardly believe us, but we take pictures. Right? We record what's happened and what's been said. And we get over there and we have us a party at church on that Sunday. We get back home, don't we, Marty? More signs and wonders come. So they go out, they do what he said, they come back rejoicing, and they said, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus says, "Yeah, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning." This is that. This is that which the Father promised. And he fulfilled through the person Jesus Christ. Kept his promise, had his plan, has his purpose. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's prioritize it. Let's get to it. I'm getting closer. We got some doubt. God won't reject us for our doubt. He loves us. But there will be a limitation upon us for having it. We've got to give it up. Just like they had to give it up. As the Spirit bears witness, we'll be encouraged to give it up. So I end with this for sure. What must we know about the Holy Spirit? Number one, He will not be managed. He will not be managed. You cannot manage Him. He's the manager. He intends to be the manager. And you can't just tolerate Him. He won't be tolerated. He will be in charge. He'll be the boss. And he won't be criticized. He don't like to be criticized. If you criticize him, he'll leave. If he's gone, he probably got criticized. He won't be questioned. He won't be. He won't be doubted. He won't be held suspect. And he will not give favor and blessing and an outpouring on those who are indifferent. I wish this guy would just get it over with. Indifferent. He won't have it. He won't respond to it. You can pray up one side and down the other. You can create a 24/7 at your house, in your church, in your city, on every block and street. But if you're indifferent, intolerant, and suspect, he'll never answer those prayers. He won't do it. We've got to give it up. We've got to let that doubt go. 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. But I say tonight, before we worry about avoiding the brethren who have a form of godliness but no power, let's get in the mirror image of Jesus Christ and ask Him what kind of form we've got and what kind of power we have, and let's see if we can get loose of our order and our control and our suspicion. So we can have power and not be so concerned about the form. Second Timothy 3:1 says, In the last days, difficult times will come. They're here. They seem beyond here. There's just difficulty every place. We need the Spirit. I close with this. Three things. What must we do? We must believe the promise. We got to believe it. We've got to present ourselves to that promise and be filled again and again and again. And we must continue to be carriers of His presence and bringers of His kingdom. This is that. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He's ready. Are we? Let's stand, could we? Maybe we can move a few chairs in this front row. I know it's late. Holy Spirit's available, though. Let's see what He wants to do. Let's let here and now be this is that. We're going to worship Him just briefly. Then we're going to have a time of ministry that is focused on this is that becoming a refreshed, restored belief and priority for every person. And you can, if you're willing, receive a fresh and powerful touch and experience in the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's give ourselves to Him here for a few minutes. Lord, we do adore You. And You are the living King. Let this be that again. Again, again and again. Convince us that this is the dispensation of You, Holy Spirit. Lord, we come in repentance of just tolerating You at times. Being suspect of You at others, and having doubt. Forgive us of that. We embrace the truth of Your promise, Your purpose, and Your plan. We want to encounter You and have a this is that experience in You here and now. Come, Lord. And touch us. I want to encourage you, just open your hands if you're okay to. Just open your hands. Just as a sign to the Lord and a way for yourself to acknowledge your openness. Might be comfortable just to close your eyes so that you're not focused or concentrated on anything that's a distraction. Just clear your mind. Don't need to be praying. Don't need to be in tongues. Just clear your mind. Just relax. He's gentle and sensitive. Just let him come now. Come, Lord. Come. More. We want you more. More now. I see him coming. Some of your eyes are fluttering. Hands shaking involuntarily. There's a hunger here. He'll satisfy. Lord, where there's been doubt in our hearts and minds, we say to you, we're sorry. We're sorry. We give that up now. Touch us with your presence. Bring your power here. Convince us again. Come, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you who just feel an urgency, a demand in you, for this is that. I want you to come right here. Come right here with me. Come on. If you're coming, hurry up. Don't fool with it. Just get going. Come on. If you've got that urgency. Come on. Somebody's in your way, push them out of the way. Not trying to be rude, just definitive. There's an urgency on you. And if you feel a tingling or a heat on your face or in your hands, come here quickly. Come on. Tingling or heat on your face or your hands. Come on. Thank you, Lord. God's going to come to everybody. He's starting a particular place. It's okay. Thank you, Lord.
Let's bring the music up. Faster, a little faster.
Come on. Lord, those who see again the this is that right here, and there's some evidence of your presence stirring their hearts, come now. Come, Lord. And purchase them, repurchase them with a conviction of this dispensation. Touch them, Holy Spirit, with power like never before. Build a remnant right here. Right here and right now. Build a spoke for that 12-spoke wheel right here. Gather yourself some spoke material. If you're on the team here, we can go ahead and begin to pray for people. What we're praying for is a this is that experience. An encounter. Power with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come now. Come, Lord. Come. In the urgency that's on Johnny, in Jesus' name, touch him here. And Holy Spirit, blow upon him. Wood, hay, and stubble be consumed from this man. I see disappointments, discouragement. I see times when you shook your head and you walked away. In Jesus' name, be redeemed from that tonight. Back to the this is that. On to the promise. In Jesus' name, touch him, Lord. Touch him now. Touch him. Let power and authority be present. Come here. Come, Lord. Help him receive. Help him receive. Thank you. More. More, Lord. More. Fill him now. Fill him. There's a conviction of this coming in you. It's going to be like a holy fire. Your days of hanging back, your days of reclusiveness for the things of the Lord are over. They're done. You're liberated. Boldness is upon you. The glory of God is going to rise up in you, not only with a voice to sing, but a voice to preach and a voice to prophesy. In Jesus' name, Lord, have your man. Have your man right here. Have your man. Touch him now. Touch him now. Touch him. Touch him. And release him. Release him here. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I just pray for you tonight in Jesus' name. Touch him, Lord. Touch him here. Help him receive. You're going to be a Joshua generation man. You're going to be a this is that man. I stir up a holy and a prophetic anointing on you in your youth. Before you're 12, you'll preach it, you'll prophesy it, and you'll demonstrate it. Come along now with the this is that generation. In Jesus' name, let the boy be a man at 12. In Jesus' name, let fire come from the altar, O God, and anoint the boy. Anoint the boy with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Help him to receive. Help him, Lord, to be soaked in your holy presence. Come now. Come now, Holy Spirit. Touch him, Lord. You're safe, son. You're safe. You're all right. You're all right. Let power come now. Let power come. Power. 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 Let power come. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let power come. Yes, yes, yes. Let power come. I release on you a prophetic gift. I release on you a preaching gift. I release on you a teaching gift. In Jesus' name, demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit starting now. Now. Now, seeing in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, prophesying in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, Lord, have a vessel here, have a vessel here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Give him the dispensation of the holy and the righteous. Yes, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless him. Soak him now. Soak him in your Holy Spirit. Soak him, Lord. Soak him. Soak him now. Come on. Come on. Soak him. Soak him, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Soak him. Soak him, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. You just go around now, just touch people. You pray and speak whatever God gives you. And you're going to start growing in your prophetic gift. Okay? Can you do that? Right there, just touch him. And ask the Holy Spirit to come. I see the Lord on you, and I see a call on your life. Been many places, done many things, looked in many places, but you didn't find all that you were looking for. In Jesus' name, I release you from your yesterdays, and I call you into a this is that day, a now day and a now time. God's lighting a new and a fresh fire in you for what God is going to do in this time. And that's this season. You're invited. You're invited. Come on.
Thank you.
Come on. Let's go.
Thank you.
You're invited. Jesus, fill this man again. Set him aflame and give fire in his heart. Let the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit come like never before. Like never before. You can minister, brother. You can minister. Do what you do. Do what you do. Thank you. Here, in Jesus' name, I release on you the presence of God. There's a hunger in you that hadn't yet been satisfied, but it's ready now. Let this is that be upon you. Come on. Have your liberty. Have your liberty to receive. Come, Lord. Come now. Blow on the Spirit of God. Let fire come in her heart. Let it come. Let it come. Let liberty come. You'll be able to love him like never before, able to receive from him like never before. Let the this is that anointing be on you. Touch her, Lord. Touch her. He's marking your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let him come. Let him come. It's the dispensation still. Still. Let him come. Let him have his way. Let him have his vessel here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just keep receiving. Help him receive, Lord. Oh, you've been a lot of places and done a lot of things. And you've seen and you heard. You've been there and you've done that and it was grand and it was great. But it's not over. It's not over. This is still the dispensation. This is that. It's still the dispensation. Come on. Let the wheel roll. Let's do it. Let's be it. Let's trust Him for it. Let's let the doubt go. Let it go. There were some men you stumbled over. They were stumbling blocks, but let's get up. Let's get up and let's get on. Come on. Let's get up. Let's get up. Let's get up and get on. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. Come on. Let's get on with it. Let Him birth it again. Let Him birth it again. We're not done. We meant to be the spiritual fathers of the this is that Holy Spirit generation now and again. Come on. Come on. Let's be a spoke in the wheel. Let's let the wheel roll across the land. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let it live. Nothing to be afraid of. We're not done. We're in the dispensation of the this and that. This generation of the young, they got to have our leadership. They got to have it. Come on. Come with me. You're invited. You're invited. You're an apostolic man who lost his shoes. But in Jesus' name, I re-prophesy your shoes. I re-prophesy your shoes back on your feet. Those anointed shoes. Those shoes that are not brass, but they're made of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased and bought, put on you, called you as a servant of God and the leader in the house of God and a spoke in the wheel that's going to roll. Come on with us. Be a spoke in the wheel. Let the wheel roll. Let the wheel roll. Give Him what you got. Hallelujah. I just pray for you today. I ask in Jesus' name that you touch her, Lord. You help her receive this. Help her receive this. Help her to connect with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, blow upon her your loving wind. Blow on her, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You're invited to the this is that generation. You're invited. This is for you. Come on. Come with me. Let's be a spoke in that wheel. It'll be good. Let Him light a flame in your heart. Be soaked and filled and filled and filled again by His Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. More, Lord. More here. More. Make her spoke in the wheel. Make her spoke in the wheel. This is your time. Let's go. Let's let this wheel roll. Let's let it roll. Come on. I anoint you with this is that. This is that. Touch your Lord. Let your power flow. Thank you, Jesus. Let your power flow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're going to find a liberty and a power in the Lord. It's going to be fast. Fast. God putting you on a fast track. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in her tonight. Bless her with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's let the wheel roll.
I want to tell you something.
Jack, my friend and I, 38 years ago, 35 years ago, short, 2 or 3 years after we were baptized in the Spirit, we used to pray a lot at the university. And one particular day we had this, like a picture or a vision of a water wheel.
Yeah.
About this being the wheel of God, in the sense that Christ was the hub of the wheel and the water was the Holy Spirit falling on it, and a sense of a great move of God coming. And we've thought about it and talked about it. Well, this evening, about 6 o'clock, when I was in my bedroom getting dressed, I said, Lord, I had this thought years ago and talked about it, and I've never really heard it confirmed. I said, Lord, confirm the water wheel tonight to me. And you had, and look, I'm sure this here.
Come here. Yeah. Tell us. Tell us that very thing. Tell us good and loud right here. Listen to his testimony.
I find this rather difficult to tell you because it's quite emotional for me. My friend Jack over here, we were students at university about 35 years ago, and we used to pray for the Lord to come and seek the Lord. We were baptized in the Spirit a few years earlier. And one particular day at lunchtime, we prayed, and we had this picture, like a mental, it wasn't a clear out vision, it was like a mental picture of a water pipe. Christ was the hub, and each of these little buckets was five sides, like five bits of wood, like a five-fold ministry.